Going to where we were supposed to go last week until I changed things around. This morning we're actually going to Luke and we're talking about the title of today's message is Grave Situation. But before we get there, how do elves clean Santa's sleigh the day after Christmas? How do elves, do you know what an elf is? An elf? Okay. Yeah. How do elves clean Santa's sleigh the day after Christmas? They use sanitizer. Yeah. Why is a foot a good Christmas present? It's the perfect stocking stuffer. Yeah. Bradley, you can put a foot in everybody's. What is Santa's favorite type of camera? How many photographers do we have in here? One, two. Santa's favorite type of camera. A North Polaroid camera. Polaroid? Okay, anyway. Yes. Now, yesterday, Jen and I were taking a walk, and I had to bring this up because it happened yesterday. And so we're walking down the lane, and I saw this. It was about 1.5 to 2 inch insect that I've never seen before in my entire life. And I was like, what in the, so we stopped. And Jen's like looking at me, and I said, what is that thing? So we're looking at it. She's like, do you have your phone? I said, no, I don't have my phone, so I couldn't take the picture. But I started researching what this, I thought I found the latest and greatest thing. I was going to have an insect named after me, but no, that's not the point. Do you ever hear of a mole cricket? Who's heard of a mole cricket? Tom, you heard of, okay. I've never seen a mole cricket. So I was Googling it all yesterday, learning about the mole cricket, which I've never seen one. So they're about 1.5 to 2 inches long. They look like a small worm in the shape of a cylinder, and they have four legs on the side and two little up front. And it's like a mole, and it burrows into the ground because we watched it. As we watched it, it was crawling, and then all of a sudden it disappeared right into the ground. It was an amazing little creature. But the mole cricket, which I never heard of, never saw one, and now I know, and so do you, about the mole cricket. So, Bradley, you can do a report sometime on the mole cricket and get a good grade. So, anyway, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. And I thank you for the mole cricket. Every time I see these crazy things that you've created, Lord, I know that you are an amazing God and that nothing is by chance. And you have all these things that you've created and have these plans, and you are in control of all things. And I just remembered that as I watched that little mole cricket. And we just pray this morning, fill us here. Come meet with us, Lord. Speak to us this morning on this passage of scripture that you've spoke about. Help us to understand this a little bit more. In your name we pray, amen. Luke chapter 6. It's this story is the story of a rich man and a beggar. And we've heard the story many times. And I just wanted to pull this out and look at it this morning. I know it's Christmas time, so it really doesn't fit in like a Christmas, but it does fit in a Christmas because it's about the spiritual dimension, right? And how Jesus, he came from the heavens to be born that we celebrate this time of year. But Jesus was talking about he touches on the afterlife and what happens we have this picture here of kind of what's opening and what we can see of the afterlife. So that's, I kind of wanted to look at that this morning because people were making some comments to me the last couple weeks about loved ones that have passed and if they were believers or not believers. And so, which we all know, as we live here, we also know that we also pass and we all die. So what's that look like beyond the grave? So the grave situation, let's look at Luke 16. We're going to be at verse 19 starting. And we're going to read it through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side, or Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so they will not come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." Wow. How many times have we heard that story? And as I stopped the last couple of weeks, and I really wanted to look at this because we know the spiritual dimension, and I talked about last week how I really wanted to dig out more about the spiritual dimension, but there's so much stuff that is touched on, but we don't have a whole lot of information. So we're really just looking today at this parable. I wanted to go back and look at, you know, when Saul went to the medium and pulled Solomon, or Samuel from the grave and questioned him. So there's a lot of stuff that we see in scripture of the spiritual dimension of what happens, where we are, what happens to our spirit after we pass. But what we do know is that this parable, and if you're filling out notes in the back on your bulletin, I'm going to be kind of following those pretty close this morning. This parable was not about wealth or poverty. This parable was specifically talking about our heart. In this chapter, it really unfolds before we even get to this parable. In verse 14 and 15, it was talking about our heart. Jesus was saying to the Pharisees in verse 14, and we're going to read this, 14 and 15, "The Pharisees who loved money heard all this and they were sneering at Jesus. And Jesus said, 'You are the ones who justify yourself in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight.'" That same thing kind of goes right into this story. It wasn't about riches. It wasn't about one man's rich and the other man's poor. It was all like this chapter talks about. It talks about the heart, just like a couple verses before this story talks about divorce. And this is where Jesus came out in Luke and talks about divorce. It was about the heart issue, and that's where we're looking at here. So this parable wasn't about wealth, wasn't about poverty. It's really looking at this guy's heart, two people, the heart of a rich man and the heart of a beggar. The rich man, what? The rich man, as we know, cared about himself. He didn't care about the guy that was stuck out on his porch or on his, you know, at the entrance of his property. It sounds like this guy, the wealthy guy, he lived in luxury every day. So if he was living in luxury then, well, how do people live in luxury today? Right? I mean, did he have his own pool? Did he have a yacht sitting out on the river? I don't know. But he lived in luxury. He didn't worry about anything. And a beggar, Lazarus, was thrown out on the street by his house. And every day, this beggar would sit there trying and waiting for just scraps from the man that lived in luxury. And did he ever get them? He got scraps, crumbs, and the dogs would come up. And like, I mean, the rich man could have looked out and said, man, that poor man, he's my neighbor. That poor man out there needs help. That poor man out there has sores all over his body. He could have paid for to help this person to get some treatment or however it may be. The rich man's heart was all about himself, didn't care one iota, one little bit about the beggar. Lazarus was the beggar. He was the lowest class of people at the time that you could find. The rich man wanted to stay in his luxury. The poor man, the beggar, was cast out to the side. So, both men in the story, as we know, both men, just as all humanity, pass. And Jesus goes into this story, and what I find, we get this glimpse of the afterlife. Just a glimpse. The main focus, though, is still coming back to the heart. So we're talking about this glimpse of the afterlife. But the focus that Jesus says is about our heart. Where is our heart? And what I find interesting, how Jesus goes from earlier in the Luke, just how Jesus would be like, he goes from talking to the Pharisees, present day, he goes into talking about their money, their present day, he goes into, and Luke talks about divorce and the people, the things of the heart, and he goes right into the spiritual dimension in this story. Because like without any like, hey, now I'm going to step back and tell you guys about this story. No, because Jesus, as he lived on earth, spirit and understanding the spirit world was like that. It was just his nature, right? He didn't have to worry or wonder or think about what was taking place in the afterlife and how it looked because he already knew it all. So he pulls out this story. And some people say, well, it's just a story. It really didn't happen. Other people say, well, he's using somebody's name. He calls out a rich man and he calls out, he uses Lazarus' name. So I think this story is exactly what Jesus said it was. This is what happened in the afterworld. This is something that has happened and I know of it because I'm Jesus. So I know these things because I've seen it. So. That's what we see this thing, this story take place. And many times we hear stories of similar things now, don't we? People have said that, well, when they had died, that they've crossed over and they saw a light. Or people have said when they were on a hospital bed, they felt themselves hovering over their body and they look down and see themselves. And some people, I was just reading an article about a guy, he was raised Buddhist and he passed as a Buddhist person and he died and he saw nothing. It was black and he was scared and he came back to life and he changed his life and came to Christ and converted to Christianity because he felt like, man, if that's what I get, I see nothing there. So Jesus gives us this glimpse. What does Jesus reveal about the grave? What do we see? Verse 22 and 23, Abraham sighed. We see the rich man whose heart was nothing that where the Lord wanted him to be, all about himself, didn't look for the coming Messiah because Jesus didn't come yet, right? When Jesus was talking about this. He dies. The rich man goes to Hades, to hell. The Greek Hades, which we call hell, is the term is actually of the unseen world, the unseen world. And both men go to the unseen world. One goes to Hades. One goes to Abraham's bosom, paradise, Abraham's side. And there is this great chasm that separates these two men. What I find interesting and what we look at is people, after we die, and we see it right here. So I'm just reading and speaking what I see, what Jesus is telling me, that after we die, evidently, we still recognize people. Our bodies are gone. We know that both these men's body were in graves or tombs. But the rich man looks out and he sees Lazarus and recognizes him. And then his conscience, he's conscious, the rich man in Hades, in torment, is conscious of the fact and can recognize people. So he is going through torment. He is being tormented. And as we see, he calls out to Father Abraham. So he knew who Abraham was. And did he recognize Abraham? Did he just know who Father Abraham was? But they didn't have pictures at the day, right? So growing up, this guy, if he went to Jewish tourist school, did he have a picture of who Abraham? No, he didn't have a picture of who Abraham was, but he knew who that was looking out across the dimension of Hades to Abraham's bosom and looked out across the chasm and said, Father Abraham. The guy was conscious. His torment was real. And he calls out and he says, please, I see Lazarus. And he knew who he was. Can you please send him to me with a drop of water? Just a drop of water, because I'm in so much pain. I'm in so much agony. Please, just one. Now who's begging? Right? So he has way worse than sores. Dogs weren't licking his sores, the rich man. The rich man now, this is the flip side. His heart, when he had the conscious decision to follow the Moses and the prophets, which was, it's the Old Testament, he chose not to follow it. He chose to live in luxury and worry about himself and discard anything from Moses, the law, or what the prophets said about the coming Messiah. Didn't care one iota about God. And now he's in agony. Now he's the beggar, and that's for eternity. So he's in this agony. He's in this place. He said, please, I need to be comforted. Abraham says, now again, so Abraham now can talk across this, not the lake of fire, but he can talk. So there's communication going back. Now, it wasn't between Lazarus and the rich man, but the rich man who's now living in Hades, who is dead, his spirit can recognize the spirit of Lazarus. His spirit can recognize who Abraham is. Calls out to Abraham, and Abraham can call back, but they can't get to each other, but they can, is this like, kind of like, was it radio waves? I don't know. You know, it's like, what's one thing that always amazed me and maybe you, there's engineers in here and people that are more understanding of these things. How in the world can you communicate? And I saw it the first time on a fax machine. Sorry, guys. This is kind of when fax machines came out. I was like, how in the world did that piece of paper come across a wire and print out on this machine? Like, so these, you see what I'm saying? Like, how in the world does that happen? How in the world can I pick up my cell phone and my wife's talking in who knows where land and calling me, and it goes through the air and comes into this other thing? It's all carried by waves, cells and radio waves and microwaves and all these types of things that happen. It's mind boggling, but that's what's happening here. So there is a communication between Hades and paradise, between Abraham's side, and we see it. How that looks, I don't know. How it happens, I don't know. But I see Jesus talking about it. And this conversation takes place because the rich man, who is fully conscious of his agony, is fully conscious of what happened, calls out and says, let him come. Let him give me some water. Let him just comfort me. It's not happening. Your chance is done. Your chance is gone. Rich man, who's in agony, still thinking consciously, starts having this conversation over this chat, the fixture that's between them, that they can't cross, but they communicate. And he calls out and says, okay. And this is where I find this. This is what we say. We see. He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment, this place, Hades, hell, which isn't our final resting place, because we know at the final, at the great white throne of judgment is judgment. This man right now is in this holding pattern of Hades. So we do know that to be true too. And we also know that Lazarus was paradise, Abraham's side. When Jesus, I'm trying to stick to the story because I can go into so many different rabbit trails. Let me just stay to the story. When he calls out, they have this dialogue and this communication. And Father Abraham gives the wisdom that Father Abraham had and said, listen, Lazarus can't come back. Could he have come back? If God wanted him to come back, sure, he could go back. But he's like, he can't come back. And he can't cross over. So the rich man who's dead, and his soul and his spirit that's in Hades, is now concerned not about him. He's now concerned not about his wealth, the luxury that he had, the money that he made, what was going on, all the barns he had filled up that go to waste. None of that was his concern. His concern was for his family. His concern turned to say, please, I know I can't come back and I'm done. This is my eternity. But I look out, please, and he's in agony and torment. Let someone go back to tell my family because I don't want them to be here. What would our loved ones, if they were in the same situation, what would people tell us when they came back from the grave, if they could come back from the grave? We see the rich man, concerned about his family, concerned about his loved ones, not concerned about his all this other stuff. He just wants his family to know that he is in agony and he is in torment because hell is very real. We have family members. We have friends. that are on that same path, on that same exact path as the rich man. Sometimes we can't do anything about it. So all we can do is tell. All we can do is continually to show love and promote the kingdom. Only Christ can bring these people from that track of hell to the track of Abraham's side, heaven, paradise that we go into. So we see this, and I find it, man, sometimes Satan has blinded people so much. So Jesus comes out, we have this story, a true story, because Jesus calls it right out, and Jesus knows exactly how it took place, exactly what happened, knows the communication, hears everything, saw everything, and now is sharing this, and people still, to this day, could care less. Many people. We worry about our stuff. We worry about this. We worry about that. We're not concerned about somebody else. We're not concerned about how we're living for the Lord. We're not concerned about following the Moses and the prophets and the New Testament. We're not concerned about those things. We're concerned about living in luxury. You know, we see it all the time on TikTok, YouTube, television, internet, whatever you want to see. You see these people that are living in luxury, and they have it all. And they have it all right now. And then there's a lot of people who are hurting. There's a lot of people who love the Lord and are living in poverty. Where do we go? What do we do? How can we convince somebody that's living in the same direction the importance of this story? Because if we have family members that are living this way, even if they're rich or not, because it comes down to the heart problem. Our heart problem is we could care less about Jesus Christ. We could care less. The heart problem is we could care less of helping somebody out. We could care less of our neighbors. We could care less of what's being taught in our schools. We could care less of what's being taught in churches. We could care less that someone is having issues and we're okay. So I don't care what they're doing because I'm okay. You know, I got my stuff. I have a meal on my table. I have a drink in my hand and I'm okay. Our heart needs to be reaching out for those people because they're being blinded by what Satan says that they don't need anything, that all you need is your current sustenance of what you have. That's what you need. That's what Jesus says, and we see it here, that we die. We all know we die, and people need to remember that we all die. We, as Christians, so where do we go? How do I encourage us now with this story? Because it's kind of like a downer, isn't it? That it can be a downer because here's a man that's stuck in torment forever. So where do we go? How can we encourage others to come to Christ when we know there's people that don't care, that they don't care what road they're on? And we know where they're going to end because we see it in the story. What do we do? We encourage people to come to Christ. Some people tell me, well, I don't know how to share Christ. This is how you share Christ. And this is the perfect time of season to share who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. You need to accept him as your Savior. That's it, right there in a nutshell. And how you lead into that is totally how you lead into it. But that's what we have to remember. So there's many ways you can lead into it. When I was actually coming out of Colorado and we were on the mountain and the guides were bringing us out, you're supposed to tip the guides. Well, I didn't know you're supposed to tip the guides. No one told me, hey, it's kind of like a caddy or something. You're supposed to tip the guides. So they bring you on the horse, you get off the thing, you're supposed to tip the guides. I'm like, okay. All I had in my wallet was like $100 bill. So I'm like, there's two guides. I'll say, hey, do you guys mind splitting 100? That's all I got. They're like, no, that's great. I'm like, yeah, okay. So And I said, but I'll tell you one thing. I said, here's the tip. Here's the tip. I said, but I will also guarantee you, I'm going to tell you guys this because I really like you guys. I said, I'm a believer. Jesus Christ, I'll guarantee you in 100 years, none of us will be here. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Where are you going to be after that? And we had a conversation about the Lord, and then it ended up being a longer conversation because where they came from and some of their background. How do we share Christ in every opportunity? The other year, and we were at this event, and Justin, I'm using you as an example. Sorry. We were at this event, and then all of a sudden, there's like hundreds of people in this event, and all of a sudden I see Justin up on stage, and I'm like, what's he doing? Well, he felt like the Lord wanted him to present the gospel to the hundreds of people there. So he goes to the guy and says, hey, can I say something? The guy hands him the mic. And Justin stands up there, presents the gospel to hundreds of people in central Pennsylvania. Why? Because that's our job. How we present Christ, but we have to remember it's not how we present Christ. It's we are the messengers to present Christ, that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We need to accept Him. We need to let Him change our mind. We can't do it. Jesus Christ as our Savior. This time of year, we're at the store. Perfect opportunities. Say, hey, you know, I'm buying this turkey for Christmas. They check you out, and I know some people in here work at Shady Maple. So you might see them at the checkout or whatever, but there's all sorts of people, and we think Lancaster County is filled with Christians. Tell you what, there's a lot of non-Christians in Lancaster County and Chester County and Bruce County. We're all where we are. There's a lot of people that don't know who Jesus Christ is. And if they do, many times they don't care. Many times they're not thinking of it. Our job. Christmas. Our job. Any other day of the year. Our job on Sundays. Our jobs on Saturdays. Our job Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. At work. In our car. In the hardware store. At the sewing shop. At Starbucks. Wherever we go. There's people that are in this story that are going to be in Hades. And you think about that, their conscience of their situation. They're going to be conscious knowing I am in torment, knowing that I'm burning. I just want someone to dip their finger in water and put it on my tongue for a little bit of satisfaction, but they're not getting it. They're not getting it. And when you think about that, that's what we can speak life into people. That's where we need to be. We need to be speaking life into people. And it's not our life. It's the life of Christ. The life, the salvation that Christ can bring. You go to the store. Hey, thank you. Hey, have a great Christmas. Hey, you have a great Christmas. And just so you know, I'm a believer. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I know He died for me for my sins. He died for you for your sins. Have you ever accepted Christ? What's your thoughts on Jesus Christ? Can I pray for you? They might be like, hey, yeah, but okay, I'm not going to converse about this here, but can I pray for you? And then you pray for that person. So you know how many times I walk away from somebody that doesn't want to talk about it? But I pray for them because it's the Spirit's job to work in their heart that they search and seek who Jesus is. Our job is to keep that communication going, to speak, to present, to show the gospel. Let's not forget that. So as we close up this message and we look at this situation, remember, we are in dire straits. We're going to die, all of us. We're going to the grave. People that you come in contact with every day, They're going to go to Hades, or they're going to go to heaven. That's our options. That's what we need to remember. And no one's coming back from the grave, because Jesus already said, even if somebody would go back, they're not going to believe. And what do we know after Jesus' death and resurrection and his ascension? Jesus came back from the grave, and there's still many, many people that don't believe who Jesus is. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, this story, you spoke to me this week and the last couple of weeks, just this story. Because when I think about how much you love us, but yet I know that there's people in torment, and I can't do anything about it. And you can't do anything about it now either, because they already made their choice, and they're past the time, and they're in this place of torment and this place of a conscious agony. Lord, it makes me think of my family. It makes me think of people, my neighbors. It makes me think of people that I know that even despise who I am, even people that I know that don't like me, I am concerned about them, because this eternal agony, an eternal torment, as we see here, that's eternity. Lord, help us to remember that we are the vessels to present the gospel right now, and we're the people we are, people we meet. Help us to continue to portray that light to people. Give us wisdom when we're speaking, just to drop the seed there upon somebody else's world. Lord, I pray for that. Help us. Give us that vision. Lord, I pray that the Spirit will continue to work in our hearts to give us that vision, that we can remember that that's our job. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Encourage us as we just minister to each other with fellowship. In your name we pray. Amen.